As we read from Psalm 126 about the person who is carrying something on their back, it could be a heavy thing. It could be a hard moment. But today we are going to learn about what this really meant to these people after they left the exile. I want to tell you a story I remember from my tradition back home. As I know, many Christians around the world would love to go and see and touch the holy places, and especially the Holy Land, Jerusalem. Many people take the journey very serious. It's not fun. It's not just, oh, to see something and just move on. People will go and kiss and hug and do things, and it's very deeply connected to their faith. And I understand that, and I respect that. And I remember when I was a teenager, one of my neighbors, who was an old Christian man, who goes by the title in Arabic, Muqaddis, which literally means a holy man. I was wondering how this man got his title, because he was having no religious education, or he wasn't a monk or a priest. He was just a normal guy. One day I asked him, why is everybody calling you the Muqaddis, or a holy man? And his answer was, because I was lucky enough to go to the Holy Land before 1948, where the borders were open and no troubles to travel between Egypt and Israel. What's more important, this story, that what he told me about, he sold half of his farm just to go there. And I couldn't believe it. That's everything. He's a farmer. He can't do anything else. He lost half of his farm just to pay for this very expensive trip. And he told me that's not it. He said, on the day when I left the village, everybody gathered and came and hugged and kisses like they will never see him again. And he told me, because this trip was so dangerous. It wasn't safe and easy like today. You just book a flight and go. We used everything we can use to get there. From donkey to a train to camel, everything we can do, except no planes. And it was really dangerous. But it was something very important to me. And in his words, it was worthy to see and touch where Jesus was born, walked, and crucified. And after his trip to the Holy Land, his name changed forever and became Muqaddis, which meant to me he was the lucky man to visit the holy sites. This story brought me closer to the message of this psalm. When the Jews were taken into exile 500 years before Christ, the Jews lived in Babylon, which today is Iraq, for almost 70 years. So if you were a baby when you went to exile, you have nothing to remember about your homeland. You have nothing to remember what that means to worship in the temple of the Lord. You have nothing to remember about old gold days. So there are many generations grow up. They only hear about the old gold days. They only hear about the God who helped them to go through Egypt and take them and establish a new nation. They can hear about God who helped them to build the magnificent temple, but they are not there. It's just a word, just talk. They cannot touch it. They cannot feel it. This psalm became a very important piece for the Jews to remember the exile and how they dreamed about the moment where they can return and worship the house of the Lord. Now these people are not anymore in exile. They are actually back home. And God is telling them to remember what happened in the exile. When God released us from the exile, we were laughing and singing because we thought it was just a dream. It's even being a super crazy to think about one day we can go back. But what we'll do when God shocked us and say, the most craziest idea can come to your mind? It could happen. How we do is that. We think about everything rational and reasonable and practical. But what if God shocking us by just drawing his own way and telling us there is something different could be done? People are just rejoicing. Your neighbors are really amazed by what God did. Should we be first amazed too by what God did to us? If our neighbors, the one who watching from outside, see all these things and say, this is a wonderful thing, should we think about what God did to us too? Later, this psalm became like the national song of the pilgrimage during their journey to Jerusalem. And we know that the Jews who lived in this borough all over Middle East, they did like the same man I talked about in Egypt, saved a lot of money, and their dream to have at least once in their life to go and visit the Holy Land, to visit the temple, to worship God in the temple. The pilgrimage saved a lot of money to go through the trip, and above all, their lives were always in danger to go through all these deserts and all these valleys. And when actually, every time we sing and talk about Psalm 23, about the valley of death, this was a really place they walked through. Wasn't just talking about the end of life and the valley of this in the second life. This was actually a place, was the most scary place for anybody to go through. So they really understood what that means to walk in a valley of darkness and dangers and being very vulnerable. This psalm was one of the best psalms to comfort and to help the pilgrimage through the journey. So they chant. And when they chant, they are sending a signal to each other, we are not alone, we are singing together. We are not in this danger or this risk by ourselves. We actually, our voice is giving us comfort and support. The comfort in togetherness, the comforts in walking on the road and being able to sing, even when sometimes could sing be mixed with tears and fear. Through chanting of the psalm, the traveler said, we are saying we believe in God in the past, the one who took our people, our fathers, from Egypt and saved them in Exodus. And we believe in God who gave this an amazing vision to a man to build a magnificent temple. We believe in God who walked with us even we are not perfect people. This is the kind of God we are looking for. We are walking a distance where we didn't know how our trip will end. We didn't know when our next foot will step on. And all this fear is in us. But our hope and faith taking us above our fear. What surprised me in this psalm is the psalmist still talking to God to return them from the exile. But they are not there anymore. And as I assume, he's talking about the spiritual exile. There is always a big love for going back to the old days. There is always, in all our life, I think it's a human temptation. We love to go and be this young child or to go and live in the 80s or 60s and all these days. But do we remember when the past was a present, we also struggled? Do you remember when because we didn't know a lot about what can happen in our future. And God is here with us today to tell us who can work with us. He can refresh our memory to remember things from the past. Not to ignore, not to stay there, not to live in our fantasy, but really to identify the past and to understand the cloud's footness who came before us and work with them. Honor the past by working hard on the future through what we are doing in the present. In the end of the psalm, we can see the writer drew two wonderful pictures of a farmer. The first paint is a farmer is going to the field carrying on his back heavy load of seeds on his back and went to his farm and put the seeds in the dirt. This farm, the wonderful image of the first picture is this farm will do everything to water and take care of these plants. And he's giving us, he will even water it with his own tears to keep it going. When you believe in something that deep, you will put every effort and you are not going to give up on it. The second bent is a farmer coming back, and we all love to be with the second farmer. The farmer is coming back with the harvest. Everybody's singing, drinking, and joyful. Everybody wants to be part of this wonderful party. But God is saying, that's a circle of our life as a people and as a church and as a people of faith. We plant sometimes, as I told the children, something we may be enjoying today, somebody else did. And we are invited to do the same. We do not have to hold on to enjoy whatever we planted. We don't have to stay to do it. The time between planting and harvest is too long and hard. We are not always harvesting what we planted or planned for. We hope, we wish, but sometimes we can face a hard season. But regardless of a bad season or a good season, the farmer always will wake up very early and plant again different seeds in different times. A farmer cannot stop planting. A farmer cannot stop dreaming. And a farmer cannot stop seeing future through what is he or she is doing in the present. And today we are invited to see God in all ages and in every moment, God of the past and the present and the future. When we laugh, remember that tears were first. So tears and sadness and hardship, not opposite to joy and love and laugh, but it's a season in our life. When you feel desperate and devastated by a hard season, just remember, when you feel you cannot carry the load in your back anymore, remember you are not alone. You have people who cared for you. You have people who will look after you. You have people who will always pray for you. This journey is a chapter of our life. It's not the end of our life. It's just one season. And as we learned here in this one is different season, you can see the four seasons one day now here. So God has amazed us by everything. We didn't know what could happen. You can have a wintry day and a summer season. So God is telling us to open our eyes and our heads to see really different season. It could be in a short time or a long time. Maybe it's harsh winter, but live with the hope the summer will come. Remember, God is saying to you, I am not only there when you smile, but I'm also there to wipe the tears from your eyes. God is here with us today in BBC, as he was in the past with many people, leaders, deacons, pastors, different people, worshipers, people who came in carrying something and left on, and all this traffic image, busy life at BBC. And we see, this is sound like who could manage the traffic here? Us, through God, through the love, through the care, through planning, through doing everything, and also depending on God for 100%. God is with us when we come and when we decide to leave or move on for the next chapter of our life. As we are celebrating the Memorial Day as a nation, let us remember the people who were part of God's mission at BBC. If you are a deacon, remember the deacons who came before you. And as a pastor, we can remember our pastors who came before us. Elders, worshipers, whatever you are doing in the church, remember somebody else did the same job or started the same mission. Let us go home today and look around and think about the things we planted around our houses and we are enjoying today. See the trees and say a prayer to thank God for the hands that planted them and the hands that is cared for them. God still is here because God is of every season and he will be always with us. Amen.